the New York Yankees continue to roll as they won yet another series, this one against the Baltimore Orioles. On this show, we'll recap the series and touch on some important news and updates regarding the Bronx Bombers. All this and more on the brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Yes, the Yankees received some bad news this week. Two more guys landed on the COVID-19 list, and of course, that hurts them in the spot where they really can't afford to lose any more depth. Unfortunately, the Yankees will be without their ace, Gerrit Cole, and Jordan Montgomery for some time due to the COVID-19 list. We're going to touch on that and more during the show. But the most important thing, Yankees take 2 out of 3 against the Baltimore Orioles. The series did not start the way the Yankees would have liked it to. However, the offense came alive in games 2 and 3. And that's the real important thing to note. We talk about it all the time. Take 2 out of 3 in each series and continue to stack up series victories. And that's what the Yankees continue to do. So, you know, yes, you would have liked to have had a sweep against the Orioles, obviously, but, you know, you'll definitely take 2 out of 3. At least it didn't turn into a series in which the Orioles beat you in your home stadium. Over the last 25 games, the Yankees have been hot. 17-8, have won 7 of their last 8 series. Now they are 9 games over 500, a season high. In that stretch, no other team in Major League Baseball has a better record. So if you're looking at it from a bigger perspective, it seems like this team is starting to get on the right track. That's what you have to do. You have to start chipping away at games. You need to keep trying to get yourself back into that American League East Division race. And you always have that wild card to fall back on. But regardless, we're going to talk about all the latest news and updates. There's a lot of headlines to talk about. Obviously, Cole and Montgomery. We had some rookie debuts over the last couple of days. And of course, the offense, it's alive. But before we get to all of that, make sure you follow us on social media. At Pinstripe Talk ND on Twitter is our official page for the show. And of course, my official page, Nick Delahanty. Search us up on Facebook by looking up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. And then if you want to check out our brand, Delahanty Media, go to www.delahantymedia.com. We got a whole lot of great content coming your way. The All About America's team is getting their stuff ready for tonight's big Dallas Cowboys preseason opener in the Hall of Fame game. Make sure you check that out. They have brand new content coming your way live today. That will be worth it. Owen DiCicco does his own solo act for the first time. Does a great job. I think you guys want to check that out. And of course, we have other shows throughout the brand as well that continue to put up good content. So make sure you check us out. Follow us on social media for all the latest news and updates on our brand. And for our show, we're available on all podcasting platforms. So however you're listening to us today, whether it's Apple Podcast, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, make sure you subscribe, get all the latest updates when our shows release. And if you're feeling up to it, make sure you comment and rate and review our show as well. It does go a long way in helping promote our show, so any kind of feedback is definitely appreciated. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on game one in this series. I kind of try to forget this one in general, but it has to be talked about. Obviously, it did happen. What a momentum game I felt that was for the New York Yankees. First and foremost, Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo make their Yankees debut in the Bronx. So anticipation was high. Yankee fans were ready for it. And also, Andrew Heaney makes his first start as a Yankee. So there's a lot of momentum. You just came off sweeping the Miami Marlins on the road. So I just felt like that was a game that I felt the Yankees were going to make a statement and win. Unfortunately, Heaney did not have it for the first time in his career. Let up 4 home runs in an outing. He only went 4 innings, allowed 4 runs, all of which were via solo home runs. It felt like a home run derby. At first, he looked really good. The first inning, he looked pretty sharp. The second inning, he was pretty much the same. And then the third inning, the wheels kind of came off. So, not a great debut for Heaney. The long ball really hurt him. You could make the case that obviously you're in Yankee Stadium, but some of them were definitely going to be home runs regardless of where you hit them. So you can't really look at it that way. But again, it's not a debut that Heaney wants to remember. And the Yankees came out absolutely flat. Only three hits in this one. They scored one run in the ballgame. They left nine guys on base. They were 0 for 12 with runners in scoring position. The new look Yankee lineup that featured most of the regulars did not get the job done. Got a note, Gio Urshela was placed on the injured list. Rougned Odor has been playing third. And although they are without Urshela, they did get DJ LeMahieu back. He had the tricep issue, so that looks to be rectified and that he seems to be ready to go, at least capable enough to play. So that is a good sign for the Yankees. But game one was just a deflating type of game. And when you're sitting there watching it, and the Orioles are playing this complete game around you, and their manager came out and said he thought it was their best game all year, it's really frustrating to say the least. So, not a great way to start the series by any means, but the Yankees had two more games to bounce back. After this game, though, the bad hitch just kept coming. We found out Gerrit Cole was placed on the COVID list. He was going to be scratched from his start in game two of the series. Very deflating in general, especially given that the Yankees starting pitching is completely banged up. Now, you add Colin Montgomery to the list of guys who are out, including Corey Kluber, Luis Severino, Clark Schmidt, Davey Garcia, who's not hurt, but he's been ineffective. So, the only starter the Yankees currently have in their rotation that began the year in the rotation is Jameson Taillon, who will pitch in Game 3, and we're going to talk about him more as the show goes on. So, yes, Yankees need starting pitching, and they're going to have to be creative in how they maneuver their rotation for the time being. But I am going to say this, and I don't want it to get confused, because obviously we're not wishing anybody to get COVID by any means. It's a terrible disease that's impacted our world for far too long as it is, and you really don't want to see anybody come down with the virus. However, I'm going to reference a game that I was watching actually Wednesday night. It was the Arizona Diamondbacks and San Francisco Giants. And they were talking about, I don't remember which pitcher it was, just came off the injured list. And the broadcasters were saying that, you know, it's good for pitchers to go on the IL. And every pitcher, at least, should go take one stint throughout the year. Now, obviously, if the Yankees wanted Gerrit Cole to rest, they would just put him on the injured list. And that would be okay. They want Cole out there every fifth day. It doesn't really make sense to lose him. But if his symptoms aren't bad, and they said he had mild symptoms and we hope that he's okay, you know, if he can get healthy, this is probably a good break for his arm. And the same with Jordan Montgomery. Now, obviously, the health comes first. And you hope that after 10 days, these guys could rejoin the team. But the little bit of a break, once these guys do get healthy, isn't the worst thing in the world. You know, yes, of course, the Yankees' depth is very scarce right now, and they don't have a lot of it. But at this point of the year, you're in the dog days of summer. These guys have thrown a lot of innings as it is. Montgomery is coming off the Tommy John surgery, so he's still not, you know, the guy that you would expect to throw 200 innings, especially after a shortened season. So, is it a bad timing considering the Yankees roster? Yes. Is it the worst thing in the world to have them out right now? No. They'll figure it out. Hopefully these guys get back in 10 days, like I said, and that they're healthy and that it doesn't really impact them. We know that it can be a very lethal virus that could really impact you. But again, you just have to hope for the best, and maybe this rest will ultimately be good down the stretch for these two guys. You know, you have to think of it positively, and that's the way I kind of try to spin it here. You know, this may be something that could help the Yankees, and obviously, like I said, we're not wishing COVID on anybody, but I'm talking more about the rest aspect of it, because if they're able to get back healthy and beat the virus, then they'll have some time to rest and recuperate to finally return to the mound, and we're excited to see them both on the mound. So before we continue going, obviously, we wish them both the best, and we hope that they're back on the field very soon. But the Yankees had business to take care of. And they go into game two, and they give the ball to 23-year-old right-hander Luis Gil. Now, it's spelt like you would say Gil, but it's actually Gil, like my Tar Heels, right? That's how you say his name. Regardless, he gets to start rookie first major league outing, and he looked good. You know, great stuff. Went six strong innings of work. Did not allow a run, only four Orioles hits. Walked just one, struck out six. Only threw 88 pitches. He was phenomenal. But we got to make note while we're talking about this. The pressure was really off Gil because the Yankees' offense completely exploded. They were up 9-0 after four innings. So for Gil, yes, he looked really good in this one. You got to give him a lot of credit. He did what he had to do. But it was also very assuring that he had such a big lead to work with. The Yankees, knowing that their young arm needed some support, they got it for him and more. So it was a great recipe to help get this win here. The Yankees were phenomenal in this one. Season high 13 runs, 15 hits. Everybody in the lineup except for one guy had a hit in this one. Joey Gallo was hitless. I'm sure he feels a little left out. Giancarlo Stanton had two hits and four RBIs. You had a bunch of guys with multi-hits. The Yankees just simply were incredible in this one. We mentioned Giancarlo Stanton, and I want to go back to Stanton and Aaron Judge for a minute. Stanton and Judge homered in the same game, this game, game two, in case you were wondering. This marks the 11th time that these two have homered in the same game. The Yankees are 11-0 in all of those instances that it's happened. Four times it has happened during the 2021 season, three of which came against the Baltimore Orioles. So I guess these guys like hitting against the Orioles. I don't know, but it does work out because obviously those guys are hitting and Stanton wasn't done. He had a really big series in this one. Speaking of Judge, that was his 141st career homer, which moves him into sole possession of 32nd place in franchise history. He passes Hideki Matsui and Tom Thresh. Next up on the list, Reggie Jackson at 144. So that's a good name to pass if you're Aaron Judge. Got to give him credit. That's definitely on its way. And we talk about the offense. They were very good. 7 for 13 with runners in scoring position, something we haven't seen a lot of all year. They also only left three guys on base, so they got the job done. They really came out in this one and said, look, we're the better team. We're going to prove it to you. And the pitching did its job. Now, this was pretty special. We talked about Luis Gil and how he was making his major league debut. Following him were two fellow rookies that were called up to help take some of the burden away from the guys who were missing from the regular pitching staff. Steven Ridings is the first guy we want to talk about. A Division III prospect. This guy is big. 6'8", 220 pounds. He gave off a little Dellin Betances vibe. And his first pitch clocked in at like 100.5 miles per hour. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, where was this guy all year? You mean to tell me that Nick Nelson and Brooks Kreske were up, but this guy wasn't? If you look at his minor league stats, he absolutely dominated in AA and AAA. Finally getting a chance at the big league level, and he was impressive. Yeah, he let up a hit, but struck out all three batters that he retired, only needed 16 pitches to do it, showed a nice mix of a lethal fastball and devastating breaking pitches. I don't think it's the last time we're going to see Ridings at the big league level. Yankees seem very high on him. A lot of emotions for him making his major league debut the night before when he found out. He also received word that his grandmother passed away. We send our condolences to his family. But for Ridings, what a way to make his major league debut. And I'm sure that his grandma was smiling down on him. And finally, the Yankees then turned to Brody Koerner, another rookie that was called up. 27-year-old from Concord, North Carolina. He was solid. You know, it wasn't the type of outing that we saw from Ridings, but he got the job done. Pitched two innings, only allowed one run on two hits. He did walk a batter, but again, At that point, the Yankees were just trying to find outs, and the rookie was able to do it. It was a great opportunity to not only get the two relievers in the game, but also for Heel as well. The Yankees had enough of a cushion where those guys could just go in and do what they're capable of doing. It took the pressure off, and it was a great recipe for success for this Yankees team. The last time the Yankees had three pitchers make their major league debut in the same game, you have to go back to 1950. It's only happened twice in their illustrious history. Pretty crazy. But the rookies got the job done. You got to be impressed with how good they were in this one. But the Yankees tie up the series. They go into game three looking for an opportunity to win yet another series. And they had a familiar face opposing them on the mound, and that is former Met Matt Harvey. If you follow my social media account, I did write about Harvey for Keeping It Heel, my North Carolina site I write for. Harvey has had a very up and down career. We remember how dominant he was early on. And then he had the Tommy John surgery, returned for 2015, and he was good. 13-8, pretty solid ERA. The thing that I remember about Harvey is obviously Game 5 of the World Series, down 3-1. The Royals were down 2-0. Harvey was pitching a beautiful game. He convinces Terry Collins to leave him in to start the ninth, and all things broke loose. Lorenzo Cain gets on base. He steals second. Eric Hosmer drives him in. Harvey's night is done. The Mets bullpen blows it. Remember, the Lucas Duda throw to the home plate. They tie the game. Then they go into extras, and the Mets lose and lose the World Series. So at that point, that was really the last time we saw Harvey at that Matt Harvey level. Injuries derailed his career. The Mets ended up trading him to the Reds. He spent time with the Angels and, you know, was just floating around and landed with the Orioles at the beginning of the year. Now, Harvey got off to a good start. Won three of his first four starts, and then the wheels came off the bus again. 11 starts. He was brutal. Absolutely brutal. Then the second half of the year came around and he was pretty solid again. Coming into this start, though, he was pitching some good baseball. Had 18 and a third consecutive scoreless innings, and that was going to be matched and tested by the New York Yankees, who were, in fact, swinging the bat pretty good. The Orioles got off to a good start against Jameson Taillon. They scored two runs in the first inning. The Yankees were hitless through three, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, no way is Matt Harvey going to no-hit them tonight. No way can this happen. But luckily for the Yankees, they get back on track, trailing 3-0 at the time because the Orioles did add a run in the top of the fourth on a Mountcastle home run. The Yankees added runs in the bottom of the fourth to give them life. Anthony Rizzo hit a bomb to right center field, and then Gleyber Torres singled to right field, scoring Gallo, and then it was all Yankees from there. The seventh inning was the big inning, with the game tied up at 3. You got a DJ LeMahieu single, his second RBI single of the game. A Giancarlo Stanton double that cleared the bases. Bases were loaded. It was a little blooper into right field. Right spot at the right time. And then you got a Gleyber Torres double that extended the Yankees' lead to 8-3. LeMahieu was not done. He doubled in the 8th inning, scoring 2. Gave the Yankees a 10-3 lead that they would not relish. So you're looking at standouts here. LeMahieu, 3-for-5 in the leadoff spot. 4 RBIs. Stanton had another really good game, 2-for-3, 3 RBIs, 7 RBIs total for Stanton in this one. If you look at the numbers of recent, Stanton has 7 RBIs in those two games, and you have to look back to his previous 22 games to find his last 7 RBIs. So maybe Giancarlo's heating up. That could be a really, really nice addition to this Yankees lineup that they could get him back on track. And shockingly enough, LeMahieu's hit to give the Yankees the lead was the first one he's had all season. That's pretty incredible considering how good DJ was over the last 2 years for the Yankees. He also picked up his 1,400th career hit in this one, so you got to give him a lot of credit. We talk about him a lot. I tweet every day, extend Anthony Rizzo. He becomes the first player in franchise history to record an RBI in each of his first 6 games with the team. He's also the first player in Yankees history with three or more home runs and eight or more runs scored throughout his first six games with the team. The guy just fits this roster so nicely. You gotta give him credit. He's come in, he hasn't missed a beat, and he's done exactly what the Yankees need him to do. Let's jump back to the pitching side for a minute. Tyone. Yes, it did not start the way that he anticipated, but the guy has been really good as of late. His 10 strikeouts in Game 3 of this series were his most that he's recorded in a game since 2018. Over his last six starts, he has thrown at least 5 1/3 in each of those starts. The most amount of runs he's let up is 2. So, he's throwing the ball well. He's being effective. And one thing that you notice, and they talked about it extensively on the YES Network broadcast, Tyone recently has been finding the pitch that works for him and has stuck to it. In this one, the curveball was the bread and butter. You saw him go to it a lot, had a bunch of swings and misses on it. In past starts, you've seen him rely more on the two-seamer or even the curveball. He finds the pitch that's working, and he finds a way to work with it, considering who's at the plate. So he's starting to get into a groove, and you could tell that the confidence is there in his pitches. So I like what I've seen from Tyone, especially given that the Yankees need him with all their recent injuries and struggles. They need to keep him healthy, and they need him to keep, you know, progressing the way that he's been. Now, obviously, Tyone did not factor in the decision. He left with the game tied. Jonathan Loaisiga picked up his 8th win of the year. That guy's just dominant. I love watching him pitch. But the reason I'm bringing it up, Loaisiga, most wins by a reliever in the bigs and has the second most wins on the Yankees, only behind Gerrit Cole's 10. So Loaisiga continues to be dominant. They go to Clay Holmes for an inning of work. And I like this guy. I like what he's bringing to the table so far. Yes, it's a small sample size. I get that. But I just like how he's able to keep the ball on the ground and he's attacking hitters. And it just seems like he has such a confidence, especially with his defense. He's putting it out there. He's saying, look, this is my best stuff. Go hit it. I promise you, you're going to hit it on the ground. And then Albert Abreu. The guy's been pretty bad of late, but with a big lead, comes in, strikes out 2 of the 3 batters he retired. He pitched a really nice inning. I think that he has good stuff. It's a matter of getting the confidence back. So, you know what? On the pitching end, you got to be happy with what the Yankees gave him. And offensively, going back to that side of the ball, again, another nice night with runners in scoring position. 6 for 14 in this one. Only left 6 guys on base. After scoring 10 runs or more in a game only 3 times throughout the first 105 games of the season, the Yankees were able to accomplish the feat in back-to-back games. It's the first time they did it in back-to-back games since the Wild Card Series last year on September 29th to the 30th of 2020. So it's been a while, but the Bronx Bombers are back in action. Now, this is important to note as well. Through July 4th, we're taking you back a month here, Yankees only had 99 doubles, which is last in Major League Baseball. Very surprising, right? Since that point, the Yankees have added 44 doubles, 9 within their last 2 games, which ties them for 6th in Major League Baseball. The offense is coming alive, and we definitely love to see it. And with the win in Game 3, Yankees now have 28 come-from-behind wins. They only trail the Rays, the Reds, and the Red Sox as the only teams who have more this season. So, Yankees have been doing good of being able to get back on track and to obviously not let a lead get to them. They battle back, they show that the offense is capable, and they make it happen. Now, the Yankees really have to lock in for this one. They have a 4-game set coming up with the Seattle Mariners. The Mariners, only a game behind the Yankees in the wild card standings. What a better way to distance the Mariners in this race than to win 3 out of 4, really push them back in the race. Heck, you could even catch up on some ground in regards to Oakland and Boston, who are currently ahead of them in the wild card standings. This is how the pitching is going to go. Thursday night, Nestor Cortes will take the ball. Nestor's been good, and the Yankees need him to continue that. That one will start at 7:05. Tyler Anderson, who was acquired by the Mariners prior to the trade deadline, will start for Seattle. Game two, it's up in the air for the Yankees. Aaron Boone did not announce a starter. Remember, we have all the starting pitching issues. Marco Gonzalez will take the ball for the Mariners. Game three on Saturday, that's an afternoon game. Andrew Heaney is on the mound. Please, we hope that he could figure it out. And game four will be Luis Gil making his second big league start. It'll be another afternoon contest. The Yankees really need him to step up and give them another big outing before the Yankees head to Kansas City for yet another important series. Before we wrap up the show, important to note, Luis Severino threw a rehab game, pitched into the third inning, threw about 45 pitches, looked pretty solid, let up a home run to Adley Rutschman, the Orioles' top prospect, but nonetheless, he's getting closer to a return. Aaron Boone said he will not be rushed to fill the Yankees' current void in the rotation. So if you thought that Severino was going to make some rehab starts in the bigs, you thought wrong. Clark Schmidt making a rehab start this week in the minor leagues. Maybe they get him closer to action. And Corey Kluber is not much farther behind those two. He's expected to get on the mound for rehab games in the very near future. The Yankees also have Luke Voit rehabbing in the minor leagues as well. Hit a monstrous home run. It'll be interesting to see how the Yankees use Voit when he finally returns to action. But of course, Yankees got to keep winning series, and they have a pretty big one with the Mariners coming to town. It's a series that they definitely can win. If the offense continues to thrive the way it's been thriving of late, they can really take advantage in this series and separate themselves from the pack in the wild card. Now's the time. Season's getting shorter and shorter as we go along. You got to just worry about putting wins on the board and distancing yourself from the other teams in contention. It would be a great way to get the Mariners at least thinking that they're out of the race by taking 3 out of 4. Heck, sweep them. Make a statement. That's what I want to see. Win 3 of 4, continue your streak of winning series, and continue to make a push toward not only a wild card spot, but a chance at getting back in the American League East Division race. And of course, as more and more information on the New York Yankees comes along, we'll be here to talk about it. Make sure you stay tuned for any news and updates regarding the Yankees. We'll release some shows to break it all down for you. Keep an eye out for our next show, which will be our Mariners series recap. Hopefully, we have a lot more positive things to talk about with you at that point in time. Once again, my name is Nick Delahanty, and I am the host of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. Before we wrap up today's show, I want to give a special happy birthday shout out to my dad, the guy, the reason why I love the Yankees as much as I do. Dad, hopefully you have a great day. And of course, hope you enjoyed the show. And of course, you know, if you follow me on social media, you know my dad likes to tweet at Aaron Boone. Hopefully he doesn't have to tweet fire Boone at any point in the near future. You know, we got a lot of those early on in the year. Hopefully we could kind of let that die down for the time being. But nonetheless, all jokes aside, love you, Dad. Happy birthday. Thank you for everything you do. We definitely appreciate you and hope you enjoy your day. As we wrap up the show, as always, let's go Yankees. Let's take another series against the Mariners. Until next time, I'm Nick Delahanty, and I'm the host of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. We'll talk to you really soon.